This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 10. Today's topic is job hunting tactics for the job hunter in 2016.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome again to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we help fellow millennials find their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. This session's hosts are John Ridge, Brian Whitaker, and myself, J.C. Preston. We're part of the crew that runs New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people find their ideal career and, more importantly, giving them the resources and community to help them get there. Hey, gang. Welcome again to the show. I hope you're having an amazing week and day. In the U.S., we're rapidly approaching Thanksgiving, a day where many of us get together with family and friends and typically have deep conversations and reminisce about the past year. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is more than likely dependent on who you actually have at your dinner table. So if you have some family and friends that aren't actually on the same perspective as you are in certain current events, good luck next week. That's all I can say about that. So, you know, every third Thursday of the month, I host a meetup for Fizzle members and anyone else that has an interest in starting an online business. If that describes you, you can look up the event on Eventbrite. And if you have further interest in what Fizzle might be, you can go to figure that out by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Also, just wanted to let you guys know that we're approaching the 200 member mark on the New Inceptions Masterminder group. This group is what we've put together to help you move forward with your career. Whether you're having problems in your career or just want to share something that you thought was useful, you can do just that. You know, the main idea of the group is for you to have a place where you can ask any questions you might have or share things that you think others might be able to use or put to use in their career online or offline. You can join in by going to newinceptions.com/Facebook Masterminder. Again, if you have any friends that you'd like to make a part of the group, feel free to invite them in. Just make sure that you tell them what it's about. So in this episode, we're talking about the job hunt, specifically tips and tactics that you can use to get yourself the most ideal job for you, if that's what you're looking to do. John is our in-house expert on the job search, as he is currently going through it, and I must say, he's had some pretty impressive results. So he'll be giving any instances where he's actually applied the information we're discussing today. Some of which include why it's important to realize that you can make your own opportunities, why it's important to aim high when you're job hunting, especially right after college, and also the importance of a LinkedIn account and why you should start using it as soon as possible. Just a reminder, if you have a question, topic, or can think of anyone that would be a good fit for the show, let us know. You can send us an email about it or them via heyguys@newinceptions.com. We'd like to know what you want to hear about. So enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session10, and I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today I have with me Jonathan and Brian.
Hey.
Hey, and how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm glad we got our technical difficulties figured out here. I'm really doing pretty well. This weather is awesome, if I may say so.
Yeah, you can say so. And in fact, you know, that I think the day is high. Here it is in the middle of October,
And, you know, it's what, going to be a high of 70s? So
I think, yeah, 69, 70. So it should be a good day.
Yeah, for sure. Unless, of course, you're allergic to everything that's out there, which a lot of people are. But
JC.
Yeah, I've been worse in past years. But yeah, when I was in school, oh, my God, dude, I'd be coughing up a lung right now. But speaking of school, a couple of weeks ago, John, you went on a job fair there at Ball State. How'd that go?
I did. It went really well. You know, made a lot of connections, pound the pavement, and got one step closer to where I want to be when I graduate. So we'll see how it goes.
That's well, hey, at least you went, because honestly, when I was in school, I didn't even go to job fairs, which was my mistake. But, you know, every time I went, and this is just kind of the way that I felt at the time, it was just that every time I went, it was like, what's the point? Because they're all going to tell me to apply online, right? Well, later I found out that actually going to job fairs is how you kind of start networking with people, right?
I've learned that you're not alone when you think that, because a lot of my, even my friends don't go because they think the exact same thing. However, they get thousands and thousands and thousands of applications online.
Right.
But your face and the connection you make with them is what prompts them 90% of the time to pull that application and actually look at it in detail.
Right. Right.
So that's what I've learned along the way.
Yeah. Well, and again, I didn't learn that until after school. So that, I mean, that was until after I got my graduate degree. So yeah, you're way above the curve on that. So good job.
I try.
So today we're actually going to be talking about different tactics that we've actually learned along the way, me since grad school and John more recently. I'm sure, you know, Brian's going to chime in here as well, even though he's Mr. You know, entrepreneur and hasn't had a real job in 5 years. But
I can tell you about my last job and how I got that. I'll save that for later.
We appreciate the input, as usual. But, yeah, I mean, this is, definitely something that I think that John's going to be able to, bring a lot into and yeah. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to discussing it. Should be a good time.
Cool. So, you know, one of the things that I think that we should probably start off with is just the fact that whatever you start with, whatever you're going to apply to, just like schools, you're going to have to apply to the companies that you, especially when you're coming out of school, apply to the companies that you admire. You know, is it a Google? Is it a, you know, Apple? Is it, you know, these are just tech things. But, you know, in John's case, you know, Shyster and Shyst. No.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But, you know, whatever the different, you know, firms or companies or whatever that you might have an interest in and working for, I think is like what you should do right out of school. Because why not? I mean, you've already, chances are, you know, you applied to several schools that, you know, you did or you didn't get out of. And but you already feel like you've achieved something there. So why not put that same, you know, those same names in the box, and hopefully you can get something out of that.
And one thing that has always stood out to me is my professors have always told us students, you can always go smaller. You can't always go bigger. So, you know, by reaching out to those companies that you admire, like you had previously mentioned, I think really sets you up for success off the bat. Because, you know, if you don't like working in a larger institution or something that it is you thought you would enjoy in college, you can always scale back and get to where you feel like you belong from there, as opposed to starting off at somewhere where you did not want to be in hopes of someday making it to your dream job, if you will. And so that's something that I've tried to keep in the forefront of my mind, even though it's not always the easiest route and it takes some courage. I think it's the route that pays off in the long run.
That's definitely, you know, when you said it takes courage, like, yeah, because I mean, for one, you're going to probably be, you know, thinking, oh my God, this is a huge company. They're going to get a whole bunch of different, you know, applications, and, you know, the chances of me actually getting a job there, what the hell's the point of me actually putting a application in? And the truth of the matter is, especially if you go to the job searches like John has done, you know, there's a higher chance of you actually going to getting one of these larger companies. So that's the first thing that I would say is, you know, if you have a passion and have an interest in one of these larger companies, you know, maybe even a Tesla or you know, whatever. Again, this is me coming from an engineering background when I was going to job fairs, when I did before later. You know, that's how you want to start. The next one we would want to talk about is focusing on quality and not necessarily quantity.
The thing is the application process is, it's so much about building relationships as opposed to just spamming recruiters' inboxes and voicemails. If people still use voicemail, but the thing is building the relationship and working at, really, from what I've learned, putting your best foot forward by being very detailed and articulate with your application. For instance, one thing that I've noticed with my friends in specific is so many of them have this cover letter, and it bugs the living daylights out of me because it's generic. Okay. And me being very analytical, I tailor each cover letter to the position and the job and the company that I'm applying for. I've seen personally so much more success from that as opposed to people just throwing, you know, something they spent 10 minutes on Microsoft Word, you know, at a recruiter and hoping it sticks, if that makes sense. So that's my take on quality and not quantity. It takes a lot more time, but I think it's so worth it. I mean,
John, have your friends ever told you why they do that? Like, what's their motivation behind keeping it just like the same for every company? That doesn't make sense to me.
I think honestly, it just shows a lack of determination and a lack of effort on their part. I mean, they're my friends, but at the same time, you know, you got to be real and look at it, you know, from a realistic perspective. And it takes time and effort. And as opposed to going out and enjoying Thirsty Thursday, like many Ball State students do, I'll be stuck in the library applying for positions and being lame. So, but I think honestly, it's going to yield better results in the long run.
Thirsty Thursday. Is that what we called it at Purdue? Do we even have a name for it over at Purdue, Brian?
Yeah, it was Thirsty Thursday.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Where were you, JC?
You don't. Yeah, yeah. Being an engineer, you don't even want to know.
Another conversation for another day.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, and I think this can actually, you know, not to cross over too much, because I think we weren't really kind of wanting to focus on the job, but the job hunters. But as we're going down here, I mean, there's going to be a lot of things that, you know, we talk about that you can even apply if you're trying to be a solopreneur, like going back to reach out to the companies you admire. I mean, that's what, well, not necessarily exactly what Brian's doing right now, but he's, you know, reaching out to those larger companies, and why not go big, you know? Focus on quality, not quantity. Hey, tailor your marketing approach to, you know, specifically a certain niche so that they feel that you know their pain versus being generic, right? And so that's just something I wanted to bring in here, is that maybe as we go down this list, maybe it's not necessarily completely lost on our listeners who are solopreneurs as well. So the next part on the list is use a blog to show off your expertise. And again, this goes right into solopreneur as well as, you know, people looking for jobs. So, Brian, what do you think about that?
I think that every opportunity you have to to present yourself that you know what you're talking about, you use that, right? To show that you're in some way an expert mm-hmm. in your field, right? So it's really funny. A blog is a very free, you know, it's free. It's a very simple way to make yourself an expert just by talking about something.
Yeah.
Like just by putting an article out, you instantly have credibility as someone who knows what they're talking about that specific topic, right? You just have credibility. So and if you have a blog, right, you can, maybe you're sending a digital resume, right,
you've applied at a job site, mm-hmm. and you can link them to your blog about these things that you're talking about, and they see you, they will see you as an expert, or at least somewhat of a knowledgeable person on those things you blog about or whatever it is. And, you know, even if it's an in-person job interview or you're applying in person, you can print off your blog post and include them as like a portfolio, include them as in with your resume, you know, include that stuff. That makes you look good, like an expert, like you know what you're talking about.
Right. One of the things that I would say is that, you know, you can go all out and maybe, you know, and this is something that Ryan talks about, one of our past guests, Ryan Roten. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, you can create your own, get your own domain of your own name, you know, and then whatever you're making your living resume on there. But something that has been even more popular recently is on LinkedIn, you can actually make posts on there. And people, when you make a post on LinkedIn, pretty much everybody gets notified about it. That you kind of like on Facebook, if you know, if you post an image, more than likely it's going to be shared through a lot of your friends. And likewise, that's how posts are treated over at LinkedIn. And so, you know, feel free to, you know, maybe do one post and put it on both, or, you know, maybe change it up a little bit, but, you know, go ahead and use that feature on LinkedIn. I think it's taken off pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something that, a joke I once heard about this kind of situation is like, you know, how do you post something on social media so that no college students will see it? It's like you put it on LinkedIn.
Right. Right.
Because I, you know, when I was in college, I had like this weird thought about LinkedIn, or like it was, and even today, you know, it's still very like, it's more formal than other social media, right? It's kind of like emotionless. It's supposed to be like, you know, present yourself, look at me, this is who I am. Right. And so, but really when I was in school, now at that point, I was just thinking like, this is like, I don't have connections, like these professional connections. So I don't want to get on LinkedIn because I'm kind of intimidated by the whole thing. Right.
Right.
Kind of, just out of my comfort zone. But yeah, so exactly, the LinkedIn can be another asset for you. And when you post, like what you're saying, JC, is like when you post on there, you can have that shows up like on your profile, those right. posts as like
exactly.
things you're an expert on. So if you publish something on LinkedIn, you know, it's going to show up on your profile, like at the very, almost at the very top of your profile. So it's a big image. It just looks like, you know, you know what you're talking about. So, you know, just do, it doesn't even have to be like a research paper. In fact, I wouldn't make it a research paper type thing. I would just make it like, you know, a few hundred words about something that interests you about your field that you want to go into, right? Like, why do you want to be a bioengineer? Or why do you like, you know, like bring up, you know, find some information on that from the internet, type up what you're interested in about it, link to it. And, you know, you've just got, you know, perfect credibility right there that you know something about that. And that employer is going to look at that and say, oh, they know what they're talking about within this specific area. That's interesting.
Right. John, what's your experience with LinkedIn?
My experience with LinkedIn is rather dismal at the moment because I waited too long. You know, so like Brian was saying, is when you're in college, you're intimidated by it, or you just don't see the usefulness of it at the moment. And like many students, I waited way too long to begin developing mine. So I'm playing catch up at the moment. But it's proven to be a very valuable tool. In the short amount of time I've actually used it. I've met people that otherwise I never would have met, through common connections and things like that. So, looking back on it, I wish I'd have started a lot sooner, because I certainly see the usefulness in it.
Cool. Well, I was in the same boat. I didn't start making additions to mine until, again, after grad school. So, you know, if you're in school, start screwing around with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of doing things online, another thing that you can do is stay away from Monster Builder, or not Monster Builder, Monster and Career Builder. And, you know, the thing is that they do have a lot of job postings on them, but there's going to be a lot of spam, and there's going to be a lot of things that are frankly just going to get a heck of a lot of applications too. However, you can still apply there. Just don't spend all your time there. You know, there's a group called Tweet My Jobs, I think. And then here in Indiana, there's also Indiana Career Connect, I think is the name of the website. And I mean, so there's all kinds of job boards everywhere.
Yeah, you could probably search for them in other states. You know, just put your state in Google and, you know, then career fair or job site.
Right, right. And, you know, another thing that you could possibly try using as far as online job sites is, you know, it might sound shady, but it's not if you do it correctly, is using Craigslist. And in fact, what I've noticed is that jobs will be posted early on in the day, but as the day grows on, they'll be taken off. And I think it's because they know that people that are taking job hunting seriously are going to be looking all day, more or less. And as a job, I mean, they're going to treat job hunting as a job. And so those people are getting the early bird gets the worm sort of thing. And so they're finding those positions, and later as the day goes on, they're taken off. So, you know, that's something else that you can look on is Craigslist. And there's a little bit of a strategy to that, but, you know, you get in there and toy around a little bit, then I think you can figure it out. So the next subtopic here is using your network to make yourself look good.
I think a lot of people undervalue their network. At least that's what my experiences have been, talking with friends and family and things of that nature. And one thing I'm going to focus on college students for a minute, just because that's where I have direct relation, to at this point in time in my life. And I'm sure it applies to, other people. However, one thing I want to say is I'll tell you a story. Okay. 3 weeks ago, I was actually pulled aside out of class. I was leaving my portfolio theory course, and in that course, we're currently managing like $900,000 in assets. And so it's pretty cool as a college student to say you've been able to do that. But my professor pulled me aside and actually had me walk with him up to his office. And as we're walking down the corridor, he told me that, you know, what many students don't realize is that they're constantly being interviewed. And he actually, because of my attentiveness and willingness to learn, he actually took me and introduced me to a department head who was actually in contact with a recruiter for a large nationally known firm that I've shown interest in since like high school. And so I think, you know, without that networking or that taking time to build relationships with your professors or just people, you know, I think that without that, you're setting yourself up to be disadvantaged. And that's just my take on it.
Right. Well, you know, and some, I don't know. Well, I was just going to say something that, you know, can easily go along those lines is that, frankly, you know, you're selling yourself every day.
Absolutely. You know, professors, back to the students thing, professors talk to recruiters. And if you don't show the interest to them, they're not going to, you know, recommend you to companies that are hiring or looking to hire people in your field. And so I think putting your best foot forward every day, regardless of whether you feel like it or not, is just, it's vital. I think it's important. I mean, it's not always easy, but I think it's certainly important. You know, if you take the time to really do that properly, you'll find doors opening up, you know, left and right for you. For instance, I just got an email this morning inviting me to an alumni dinner. And it was actually, I'm being sponsored by a faculty member that oversees an executive board that I currently sit on. And so just little things like that. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm amped up because I know that I'm going to go there with not to have a good dinner and listen to some people speak, you know, on a stage, but to shake hands and pound the pavement, if you will. You know, and I think if you look for opportunity and you do your best to set yourself apart, it won't be long before, you know, doors begin to open.
This whole topic about using your network to make you look good. I know when I was in college, I didn't feel like I had much of a network to use, right? Like, even after, right? So if that's where you're at, you know, whether you're in college or whether you're, you know, 10 years after college or 20 years after college, whatever it is, go find people who are doing what you want to do, right? Go start making a network. It doesn't have to be like, you know, a lot of what we're talking about today is like finding a job immediately, but you know, a lot of times it doesn't happen immediately. So start making networking connections and plan on that for the long term, right? Just find people who are doing what you want to do or who are interested in what you want to do. There's a million ways you can do that. I mean, you can go on LinkedIn or you can go on, you know, just Google and search for like, I don't know. For me, it'd be like an entrepreneur. But yeah, I mean, I'll get to Meetup. But yeah, so exactly. Like you can use Google to just look for like a group or a Meetup, like meetup.com, for instance, on your interest. And yeah, meetup.com is actually probably better than Google because it's specific. And these people, are, you know, there are groups of people meeting about their interests and their passions or what they do for a living in your area. And it's by area, it's by interest. So, you know, if you don't have a network that can make you look good, then start building that network.
Absolutely. I think getting involved is key to success in anything, especially job hunting. Like, for instance, I'm a member, like you said, memberships or getting involved or building that network. I'm involved with the CFA Society of Indianapolis and the Risk Management Society or Association, excuse me. I also, you know, took the opportunity to pursue leadership roles in on executive boards for student-run organizations. And just little things like that show that you really, you know, you care and you're willing to take the time to set yourself apart and go the extra mile. And I think that pays dividends in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. When I was in school, I would join organizations a lot of times and I would just think, oh, well, it's something I can put on my resume. But really I think, John, you kind of brought up a better point to that is like, not only can you put it on your resume, which yeah, that's great to have, but you can just be by being part of those organizations, you're just having a position. It doesn't even matter which position, just a position. You can get access to those people. You can make them, you know, just say hi, you know, start with a handshake and, you know, say, hey, I'm such and such, you know.
I think that's the most nerve-wracking part is just stepping out of your comfort zone and introducing yourself to people. Because at the end of the day, that's all that they're people just like you and I. And they've a lot of them have been in your shoes. And so I think it's important to remember that because a lot of times you see people that are where you want to be or where you see yourself in 10, 20 years and you think, oh man, they can't relate to me. But I think that couldn't be farther from the truth. I think they a lot of people want to be in students' corners or people who are aspiring to get to the next level. I think a lot of them want to give back, if you will. And so I think it's, you know, just taking the initiative and introducing yourself and, you know, look them in the eye and shake their hands and tell them your name. I think that'll open up more doors than you could imagine.
It's funny that you should bring up just going out and randomly meeting people, but that's actually one of the next item here. You know, doing the cold connecting, you know, and really, I mean, do it on LinkedIn. Or maybe through a friend and have them introduce you or, you know, going into actual small businesses, if that's what you're wanting to work in your local area or, you know, just trying to meet people. I mean, everybody that is a friend that you would call a friend right now at some point or another was a stranger. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with making those cold connections or those cold calls. I mean, if that's another word that you could use for it. And, you know, likewise, building a business, being a solopreneur, you know, that's both of these tactics can be used as well. So going on, we got cleaning up your online profile. And again, this is something that Ryan was talking about back in session number 7. And, you know, he specifically helps Generation Xers do this sort of stuff. But, you know, pretty much everybody should do it. And that's, again, cleaning up your online profile. And there's multiple ways of doing that. And you can go check out his podcast and learn from how all the different ways that you can. But, you know, the main thing that you want to do is just Google yourself and see what comes up. And if there's stuff on there that doesn't, you know, necessarily correlate with what your how you see yourself, you're going to have to, you know, try to change that. And to be able to do that, yeah, you're going to have to build in your LinkedIn account. Maybe use a middle initial to make yourself stand out from the other ones that are out there. You know, make sure that if you do find any of your stuff that you shouldn't have been posting on there, including parties and stuff, pictures from parties and stuff, then make sure that, you know, you go and if they're on your account, obviously take them down. But if they're on friends' accounts, then you're going to have to talk to your friends about taking that stuff down. And, you know, just get out there and find out what's out there and try to eliminate the stuff that if a prospective business or employer would be interested, or and you, if you're again, you're a business owner and a client would be interested in, make sure that stuff is gone.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, this is 2015. We're going into 2016, and people Google you before they'll even set up an interview with you. I mean, that's almost inevitable in any field you go in, because they want to know as much about you as they possibly can to make sure you're the right fit. And so I think that's, you know, what you just talked about is very important to this whole process. And me, I know, JC, you're going to completely disagree with me on this, but I just deleted my Twitter because I was scrolling through it one day, and, you know, Twitter has been around for quite a few years. And while I didn't have anything that was incriminating, because I'm not going to lie, I was a pretty okay kid growing up. So I never had anything that could be held over my head, but just looking at it, it was juvenile. You know, a lot of the things that I said, they weren't hurting me, but at the same time, they weren't helping me either. And so I think that, you know, it's just important to look at it from every perspective possible. That's my two cents. I mean, Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, people Google you. Like, that is, it's just a necessity. So I think you guys are both right on that. I don't really have anything additional to add yet.
That's all right. We'll just edit you out. I'm just messing.
Jerk face. All right.
I might get on Facebook later and talk about how you're a jerk.
I'm gonna tag you in a bunch of racy photos.
I'd be wondering. Never mind.
All right. So
don't need to wonder, John. You'll know. You'll know how exactly what's in the photos. You'll be tagged.
All right. Well, I think bringing this back around and reeling it back in, I think finally the last thing that we really ought to consider is just being persistent. I know this is something that we've all talked about previously in prior episodes, but I think a lot of life and the way it plays out revolves around your ability to be persistent and resilient and face adversity head on and just take it as it comes in stride. I can't tell you how many people I know. I talked to a kid the other day and he was asking me about my interview processes and you know, I told him, oh yeah, I'm second interview here, third interview here. And he just looked at me and I turned the table and I said, well, where are you at? And he goes, oh, I'm not going to apply to any job openings until, you know, probably March or April of next year. And I was just dumbfounded. I didn't say anything. And I'm sure I looked dumbfounded because that's just genuinely how I felt. I couldn't imagine being in that mindset. But I think what it is a lot of people just expect opportunity to fall in their lap when they graduate or when they're ready to take that next step. And unfortunately, for the majority of people, that's not the way life works. I think you really have to go out there and you have to make opportunities and really do your best to see beyond where you are and think ahead. Right. And that's something that my parents, you know, thankfully instilled in me at a young age. And I think it's really helped me in the long run. And it's something that I do my best to pass on to other people as well.
It's all about being proactive and not reactive, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
All right. So the next item is actually seeking help to find a position. And I know that a lot of graduates, if they don't start this process early, will get into with temp agencies. And that's one way of doing it. Another way of getting help is to straight up use a headhunter. And then there's also recruiters for like different industries. And contractors that might be subcontracting from a larger company that you want to be a part of. Maybe you can get in that way. But yeah, and there's nothing wrong with trying to seek help to work for the various companies that you might be interested in.
Well, absolutely not. I don't think there's anything ever wrong with seeking help. Because obviously we can't get from where we are to where we want to be without other people. And so I think that's a great thing to keep in mind.
And then after getting help, you can make sure that you want to be persistent. And obviously that's kind of a no-brainer. Just, you know, make sure that if you're trying to follow up with anybody that you might have talked to before, that, you know, you try to follow up with them regularly. And maybe a good idea might be Tuesdays or Thursdays, which are not the beginning of the week, but not the end of the week as well. Because obviously Mondays and Fridays are going to be, you know, kind of helter-skelter for people trying to start the week and trying to end the week. And then, of course, the last one on the list would be stay organized. And I think John's a pro at keeping organized.
I was that little kid in, like, kindergarten that had all my crayons, like, the 64-pack organized by color. And, like, if they dumped out, I would spend, like, 10 minutes reorganizing them. So that was me growing up. So yeah, organization's always been something that I've kind of enjoyed. It's weird, but that's just how the cookie crumbled, I guess.
John, you just described my son right now. Like he like has
he's gonna be a good kid when he grows up.
he has like 10 pairs of shoes, maybe like more than 10. But anyway, he like one day decided he wanted to organize them all underneath his bed, and he's 3 and a half is when he did this. So really little. Yeah. He like laid them out, you know, pair by pair, perfectly in a row, perfectly in columns, just like a grid of like, so you basically sell my son.
is he the oldest?
Yeah. Yeah. He's
the okay. Oldest. Yeah. Well, don't hold it against him when he gets aggravated at every other kid for not being the same way. Because I know that's how it was for me. And it's got me in trouble from time to time.
Yeah. All right. I'll keep that in mind. Nice.
So anyway, guys, hope this list of items that the job hunter can use. And again, you know, maybe this will help you out with starting to get out there on your own and starting your own projects as well. So this has been JC.
And Brian.
And Jonathan.
And
we'll talk to you again next time. Pedal faster, Brian. Come on.
Oh, I thought I heard as I was hearing you, I was saying it. I thought I was totally
okay, everybody, and you are now in the know. Hey, talk about a go-getter, right? I mean, I think this session, if anything, shows how John's personality is, and why I initially invited him to be part of the new Inception staff as we're getting out of the gate here in 2015. I think he's going to be doing great things in his career, honestly, and you know, I hope he sticks around once it all starts so that he can share how things are going with you.
If you want to connect with John and ask him a few more questions regarding what has worked for him in his job search, I'll be providing a link to his LinkedIn profile. And of course, you can talk to him in the Mastermind group on Facebook. But you can also connect with him on our contact page as well. In this session's show notes extras, I'll be putting up a couple of links that will help you make the most of the session as well. It includes a couple of videos. One is about making an effective LinkedIn profile, and the other is about how you can start a blog using HostGator. If you get that far, there will be another link to a video showing how you can make it stand out from other new blogs by using a premium theme from Envato Marketplace. So look out for that. Remember, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And further instructions on how you can do that are on the show notes as well. Speaking of iTunes, here's a review from iTunes of the show. Allie says, I absolutely love the conversational format of this podcast and the host that run the show so well. I recommend this show for anyone who is looking for great topics and touching advice on how to grow your own career, even at a young age. Thanks so much for the great content. And thank you, Allie, for your comment. Really appreciate it. And hey, would love for you to leave a comment on iTunes as well. You know, it helps the show get noticed, sure, but also gives me some feedback and how to improve the show as the show's editor. So if it's a constructive comment, you know, I'll read it on the show just like I did with Allie. So thanks again, Allie, for the comment. Next up, props to our support, which includes, you guessed it, Fizzle and HostGator. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know who they are. But in case you're brand new, I gotta let you know. Fizzle is a community membership site for online-based entrepreneurs. You can have experience or, you know, be a newbie, and they can still be an asset as both. So, I mean, if you have any questions on how to build your email list, they even have a course up. I think it's like build your email list to 10,000 subscribers. They have that as a course. Or maybe you're not sure what kind of business you want to even do. You know, and a lot of the courses that they have at the beginning talks about trying to find clarity on what kind of business you want to do. So, you know, they have you covered there too. And with another 40 plus courses and growing, along with great personal support from Steph and the guys and a community that won't let you quit, you're going to get a ton of value for only $35 a month. So on top of that, they have a free podcast. So if you don't want to pay the membership quite yet, you can get some good stuff there as well. But if you do want to try out the membership, you can do so for free for a month. Just visit newinceptions.com/fizzle. Angles of Latitude is also brought to you by HostGator.com. As you might have heard in the past couple of months, I love HostGator. Why? Because they make everything easy. When people come to me wondering what the easiest way to get up their first site is, I always say HostGators. You know, as shown in the video and in the show notes, you can have a WordPress site up with a click of a button. Then they also have a WordPress optimization feature that will help you make sure your site is running smoothly. And on top of that, there's a 24/7 support, both via chat and through phone. I've used both. Both are spectacular. And on top of that, you can get unlimited domains, storage space, bandwidth, and when you subscribe to the baby plan. You know, don't focus so much on the smaller one. You can't get all that stuff. Focus on the middle one there, the baby plan. And you get all this for less than $10 a month. And if you use the link in newinceptions.com/HostGator, you can save an additional 20% off your subscription. So definitely a steal. In next week's episode, Trent and I interview Kate Chaplin. Kate just won the Independent Show's Rookie of the Year Award for her podcast. In fact, I think the best way to describe Kate is that she's very creative and great at making people think. In fact, on her podcast, one of the coolest features, I think, is how she reviews movies and shares what she believes are life lessons you can take away from that particular movie. She's also an independent movie maker. And she'll be sharing with us some of the cool films that she's had the chance to produce and looking forward to in the future. So we'll be discussing how she got into that field as well. So definitely a good show for you to listen to, and if you wanted to get into the movie space, right? So until then, head on over to New Inception site and let us know what you thought about the job hunting topic session that we had today. Also, ask any questions you might have had or have in the future. I'll make sure John sees them. So until next week, thank you guys for listening once again, and we'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.